podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is, I guess it's an Everton and West Ham reaction show, which we've, as you can tell, we've put off for a little bit because life gets in the way and Liverpool not being that good can't be an excuse. You've still got to talk about it. You've still got to, I don't know, get it out of your system. Otherwise, you can just think about it too much and whatever. But yeah, we're going to get stuck into all that stuff before, or after, I should say, we get stuck into a bit of Arnie Slot stuff because we're conscious we haven't spoke about that yet, so that's something we need to do. But of course, I am Mick Moran. I'm joined by Christian Anderson once again. Christian, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm off work for 2 days, so I'm going to enjoy the sun later on. It's going to be quite warm here, so looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to talk about Liverpool as well, but not as much, to be honest, because it's quite deflating at the moment, like energy-wise. But it's, do you and me discuss that like privately in a chat, saying we should do a show, but you know, we haven't had the energy really, because it happens at the end of the season, especially when the energy also goes out of the team. And you know, in the situation we're in at the moment, it doesn't like excuse that you should do a show or be positive about other things that comes with Liverpool nowadays, but it's just what it is. You need a few days, you sort it out, and you have to sort your, you know, private life, work life, everything out as well. And it's harder to do than when you got Liverpool going not as good as you hoped, but here we are. So yeah, looking forward to it, and let's crack on and see where we land.
Well, before we get into the depressing stuff, which I wouldn't forgive anyone for skating over the Everton game especially, which was mad that was like last Wednesday. It's mad. That's flew by, thankfully, because obviously the aftermath of that, with knowing quite a few blue noses, weren't the best, because they were, of course, just loving life and all that, which just, yeah, just not a good time. But yeah, let's talk about what looks like to be the new Liverpool manager, Arnie Slot. Looks like it's...
Head coach.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I need to... Yeah, scribble manager out and write head coach on HC. Yeah, new head coach. So we haven't spoke about that yet, but it seems to have gone through quite quickly. I think they were obviously looking at other people, and it seems like he fits the bill, and I've watched a few like interesting videos of Redmen and Anfield Rap doing amazing work as always, like in terms of breakdown into details and why he fits into the new style, like 4-3-3. He's a good man manager, and all the tick boxes that you want to come in, and also not a big name as well. Who's someone who's going to come in and not have an ego, the likes of maybe a Thomas Tuchel was getting touted about, and Mourinho got weirdly thrown about for a couple of days or so, which I was like, this is just the most baffling link ever. Why would you go from Klopp to Mourinho? They're just like two opposite ends of the scale in terms of like what they want to be. Both good managers, but like in terms of Mourinho, it's just a dinosaur now. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it initially? Because it looks like it's, if you believe all the Twitter rumours and reports, it looks like it's pretty much done. It just needs the backroom staff and all that need to be sewn up and stuff and ready for end of the season.
Yeah, first of all, I think with a change like this, you know, when Klopp announces leaving Liverpool, you always obviously know that it's going to be a haunt for a new manager or head coach in this case, and you will be dragged into it even if you don't want it. Like you kind of try to focus on the football. But here we are, and I think, you know, when they start to talk about who could replace Klopp, there was different options, and you mentioned a few there that was just like, it doesn't fit with the culture of Liverpool as a football club. You know, you can talk about Mourinho and winning ways, but you know, that's 20 years ago now, when he was in his, you know, first coming into Chelsea and doing all that kind of stuff. And obviously he won at Inter and Real Madrid, but you know, days are gone now. I think with Arne Slot, I think it's exciting. I think from what I've read and heard about him, you kind of, first when the rumours come in, you start to, okay, who's this? I have heard about him, but don't know anything. Like, I just, because I, you know, you follow football, you look who won leagues and stuff. And I knew that he won with Feyenoord last season, but never, you know, gave anything into that, because you think it's Ajax, PSV, Feyenoord. Well, you know, it just goes around them, three kind of clubs, or four maybe, normally PSV and Ajax. But when you start to read into it and, you know, listen to people talk about him that know him, maybe journalist-wise in Holland, and also players, you know, De Kuyt has been out there talking about him, you know, Van Dijk have said good things about him already. You start to get that excited. You start to get all the facts and reading loads of things yourself. And I think from what I've read now and heard, he's sounds like a good fit in terms of what kind of person is the man management, like you mentioned, you know, the communication that he uses to, you know, to players and to make them go in the same direction together as a team. He plays the systems that we have, 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. I think we got the squad for either way, I guess. You know, it could be a good thing to maybe change a bit or try to do something different. But, you know, you never know how it's going to get, and no one can really replace Klopp in the way it is. So I just think we should give him time, back him up, even if it would be a tough start. We hope it's a great start, and, you know, he gets us flying and everything, but you never know. So I think he should have the time, and we should back him and be positive. But I think he's an exciting person. The only thing, though, is that this, like I mentioned, that the head coach and not the manager thing, that they're trying to change the hierarchy, whatever you call it, you know, who's in charge of different things. Like Klopp obviously has the personality and the, you know, from everything that he's done, he can just be like the manager, taking decisions, making sure, like, I want this player, not this player, I want to do this and that. This feels like, you know, it's weird. I wouldn't use the term puppet, you know what I mean? But someone who just comes in and focuses on the football things, and the other people will do other things. But I hope that he still will be heavily involved in players. Because the thing is, a manager wants to, or head coach, or whatever you are, if you are the person in charge of the football, you want to know what kind of player you want and the player you need, and you know, what kind of prospect is this? Is the youngster? Is this someone that can go in straight to the team? Is this someone that we can develop? So I hope that he has a lot to say about football things and not just decisions taken, you know, in the office from Edwards and Hughes or whatever. So, you know, to end this, you know, talk about him now, I'm excited. I think it would be great. We'll see what happens. But you know, I think we might have found someone that can actually fit into the Liverpool thing and culture quite good, in the way that I've heard and read about him.
Yeah, there's, like you said, there's loads of good stuff out there about, and I understand, like, you're putting, like, a head coach, but I feel like hopefully it will be like a, I mean, they've tried to make it as seamless as possible, it seems like, in terms of, like I mentioned, like the ticking of boxes, like in terms of what he provides, like on the field, off the field and all that stuff. I feel like he probably might not have the same amount to say, as you said, like he's going to be a head coach, not a manager. But in terms of him wanting the style of players, he's still going to surely have a say in terms of that. And I think it's like Klopp's always bigging up the people around him, isn't he? He's always saying, like, if the sports scientists say this, if they say this, if they say this, then I'll adhere to what they say. I won't just be thanks for the advice, but I'm going to go against that. He'll always use the advice around him, and he always bigs up the likes of Pep Linders and all on the backroom staff in terms of what they've done to help him be the manager that he has. So I think in that regard, hopefully it's going to be like a smooth transition. And I mentioned, like, people and other fan channels, and obviously the likes of Redmen and Anfield Rap and stuff doing amazing stuff. And another one that I've loved recently, since he started the Substack, is Josh Williams, and he puts out like a weekly email if you subscribe. And it, like, I think it's difficult because the Dutch league isn't one of the top five leagues. So when people have been touting around for who the new manager's going to be, and you're doing top five leagues, the Dutch league isn't in there, so Arne Slot wouldn't have came up. So now they're incorporating it into the top seven leagues or whatever. And when you look at the recent one from Josh Williams, you can see like Feyenoord have got one of the best defences in Europe based on, if you incorporate all that, the in and around Arsenal and Man City, PSV are in there as well, in and around that, Liverpool a bit lower, one of the best attacks around Bayern, Liverpool, PSV, I've given him a big plug here, Josh, but I liked the way he ended it, this week's Substack, because he says he'll naturally make a few subtle tweaks based on his own taste, but we're only talking about a little paint job here. He's not going to be knocking walls down. I thought that's like a nice way to put it. I think in terms of he's not going to be going in there, going like, say for example, we got a Tuchel or Mourinho, they're going to be like coming in going, right, he's going, he's going, send, fuck him off. Just give him a new contract. Like people, don't give him a new contract. Like, and it's like he wants to prove a point. Whereas this is going to, he's going to, Arne Slot's going to come in, and it's going to be like, let's try and continue the work, that amazing work that Jurgen Klopp's done, and it's impossible to live up to the way that he's changed the club. But I think it's like having someone like that come in with, who's got the right ideas and the right personality, who can come in and make a difference, along with, of course, Michael Edwards, who we were all made up when we saw that he was coming back. Of course, he's got more control now, but I think that's something that we've needed. I think if we didn't have that, I think when that was happening and we knew Klopp was leaving and Edwards was coming back in, we were like, right, in this period where we've got such a transitional stage, we need people who know how the club works. We need a bit of stability. And him coming in does that. And also he brings in a man like Arne Slot, who's going to be able to have that those interactions where it's not going to be a major overhaul as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said there, like if he's just going to, well, not just going to, but try to continue the work that Klopp has done and the foundation that he built, you know, building Liverpool up since he came in. I think, you know, it says a lot about Arne's personality as well, that he's, you know, he's welcoming that challenge in that way, not just be like, oh, it's me. It's more like, I'm going to come in, and I'm not, like you said, about Josh saying he's not going to knock the walls down. He's just going to try to implement his way, and you know, like slowly and in a clever way, I guess. That's why I get a good feeling about him, because he doesn't seem to be an ego. He just seems more like a person that fits into the Liverpool style and Liverpool culture, and also understands that if I go in and try to change loads, I might just ruin everything that, you know, Klopp has built up for a long time, which maybe a Mourinho or Tuchel would do, because they are egos and they want to have their way, like you know, crybabies in one way, fucking grown-up babies, if you like. But, you know, I think that he's more like a settled man, clever man, got the right people around him now, and he comes in and he knows where he starts, and if he gets it right and slowly builds himself up, his reputation, his way of, you know, getting his, like you said, his players, or you know, I want this player, or I want that kind of style, or whatever it might be, you know, he builds that up slowly, he will get more respect and more, you know, more to say about anyway. So, you know, I'm not you know, worried. People are saying, oh, we're doing the same mistake as Man United did with, you know, Erik ten Hag. And, you know, yes, he's from the same league. You know, there's someone who was successful in Ajax, came to Man United and didn't work out for him, hasn't done yet. But, you know, at the same time, Klopp's leaving a Liverpool side that is actually a great quality of players. It's just now where we, you know, hit the bad form and there's been some internal stuff going on, and that can happen. But, you know, it doesn't mean that the club or the team is on a downfall. It's more like, okay, you know, bad moment. Hopefully we can get rid of that quickly. And then when Klopp leaves and we have applauded him off and thanks him and built that fucking statue of him, we can go on with Arne, and hopefully, we, you know, next season we'll have some new energy, a new voice, you know, something different. And it, you know, it's not always bad. It can be a good thing as well. As much as we wanted Klopp to stay, and how much we love and respect Klopp, and we'll always do, because he will always be a legend. Sometimes, especially like Klopp feels, it's the right time to leave because of his energy levels and all that. You know, he might just, instead of staying 1-2 years when he feels like this, because to honor his contract, whatever, he's taking the decision to leave now, so that the club has the time to actually find its way past him. So I think all together, I'm quite excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned like the comparisons to Erik ten Hag. I think just social media is that hilarious, that the connections are he's Dutch and he's bald, and it ends there. You know what I mean? Yeah. he happens to have been born in the Netherlands, and he happens to be follically challenged and losing his hair, which I'm going that way. So I mean, I can't. I'm
Dutch, going that way. So,
yeah, but you know, 50% there. I'm not Dutch. It could be.
Yeah, you never know.
I'm not even gonna start doing Dutch accents.
No, that's the thing. Like, it's not too far off from Scandinavian language, to be honest. Like, the words and things they're put together that you could understand if you just listen to it, but it's very difficult anyway with all the it's a little bit scouts there in maybe as well. I don't know, in the Dutch.
There you go, there's anyway, the connection.
I was going to say as well, I read, and I'm not 100% sure, but I read something about that during his time in Feyenoord, he hasn't had back-to-back defeats. So he hasn't lost two games in a row. Like, if he lost a game, he made sure to, you know, draw or win the next game and not being like lose on that kind of run, which is good as well. Well, still, you know, Feyenoord's been a good team in the Dutch league. And like we said, it's you know, Ajax, Feyenoord, PSV, they are quite much higher than maybe the rest, to be honest, without being disrespectful. But, you know, it's good to have that kind of manager that maybe knows what to do in terms of losing and where you have to go to turn that around quickly. And, you know, that's a stat that says something about his ability to motivate his team as well. So you know, that's a good stat to have, that you don't lose twice. You just, you know, you lose once and then you turn that around and you just tell everyone to, all right, not next time, let's go and win it, which I like.
Yeah, it is, but I think it's going to be harder in the Premier League, of course, like in terms of coming up to players, like even when you're coming up against like a West Ham or a whoever it's going to be, it's always going to be more difficult than what I'm trying to say is the mid-table Prem sides are much better than the mid-table Dutch league sides. Which is, it's going to be hard for them. And that's why I'm saying it's a bit of an impossible task for anyone. Anyone that came in, the only person that would have came in and we would have been happy with is Jurgen Klopp. Do you know what I mean? If he would have, like I said, I'm not going now, I'm staying, that would have been the only way we would have been happy, but he's not, unfortunately. So we've got three more games of Jurgen Klopp's tenure, which is sad, which moves us on to the games a little bit, because as much as I don't want to talk about them, we're going to have to, and we'll start with Everton, and let's make this at least a minute long, no longer. Excuse me. 2-0 loss at Goodison Park. Deserved loss. It was just a really, really bad. Like, our first loss at Goodison since 2010, which I think says a lot. Like, I was in the second year of uni, so that day, all them Everton fans haven't experienced a win against us at Goodison since I was in the second year of uni, and that just made me chuckle a little bit. But it makes them go the other way, where they're like just amazed, like so happy and whatever. And you've got to give them the moment, of course you have, but it still is a little bit annoying where you just think, oh, they're milking it and this, but of course they're going to. But we just didn't get out the blocks, did we? Like, they score 27 minutes in, and you're thinking, oh, fucking hell, here we go again. And like, let's not even go into like our happens and goals and whatever. Calvert-Lewin scores, and then you're looking at like the Darwin Núñez chance, where he's pretty much in front of the goal. He strikes it well. Like we've said more than a few times this season on shows where he's in good positions, he strikes the ball really well, but he probably hits it too well in a way, where it's like he hits it so flush in the face. If he hits it a little bit scruffier, or he gets a little bit more angle on it, it pops in, it goes in off the post, or it makes it a bit more difficult for Pickford. He makes it a bit too easy for him where it goes straight at him. But we just didn't make enough chances. We had enough of the ball, like we always do. I think we had 77% possession, but if you get beat 2-0, it's fucking pointless at the end of the day. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, where we've had loads of the ball, passing in behind, passing to Alisson, Van Dijk, Kwanzaa, whoever, back again, midfield, and then there's just like, we just couldn't break down teams. And like, I guess we've had this problem all season, where we start the game badly, but we've had enough to be like, right, we can overcome this. And I think we've got to the point where we've been overachieving, in inverted commas, in games by having so many injuries. Like, we had Keller in goal for 14 games in a row because Alisson was out injured. We had Bradley in the side for a similar amount of time. Trent was out. Jota's been in and out the side. Like, we've had loads of injuries. You can't understate or underplay that. So in those games where we had those players, we were probably doing better in terms of what we should have been in terms of winning games. Like, there's some of them games you think, no Alisson, no Trent, no Jota, blah, blah, blah. If you draw that game, you could be forgiven. But we'd end up more often than not going on to win them games. And then it's just weird the way when we get players back, it started to cause the problems a little bit weirdly. I don't know why that was, but it just seemed like it started to unravel a little bit, whether that was lack of energy or, I don't know, people are making loads about this, oh, it's Klopp's final season, and it's like, has it finally had its impact on the side? Because we mentioned it, like, as soon as, I think the pod we did directly after, where we were like, let's hope this doesn't have the adverse effect on the side in terms of making them more nervous in front of goal, a bit too rash in passing, bringing off from the back. And we didn't see that for months, and we were winning games, and then you start to see it towards the end, at the worst possible time, really. But at the end of the day, now we've had time to mull over it and accept that we're not going to be able to win the title, and of course going out to Europe and all that. It's like at the start of the season we would have been like a cup and top four would have been the goal, and we've done that. It's just the way the season's gone, starting so well. If we would have built up this season, and at the end of the season we've had a chance of third after being fifth and fourth the most of the season, then we've got a chance to go third, would have been a boss season. But it's the way the season's played out, hasn't it, where it's alright to be disappointed, because we all are, but it's just like, then you've got to begrudgingly have some context about like where Liverpool were and where we've came to with a side with loads of injuries. And I think that's, it's hard to accept that but also move on from it and be like, oh, but it could have been the fairy tale ending, and it's sad that it's not.
Yeah, it's very sad, and it's hard to take, you know, when, you know, you hear it from, you know, supporters to other teams on social media, and, you know, you meet them at work or in your daily life, and, you know, it's hard to take. But like you said, with perspective, it's also something that you would be, you know, happy with a cup title and, you know, getting Champions League football for next season, because we all thought, you know, we're in a transition here with the midfield. We had loads of injuries, you know, we didn't think that Jürgen was going to leave. So we were just having this as a season where let's get the new boys going. Let's, you know, see where that can take us. But we're happy with Champions League football. And if we can have one of the domestic cups, that's great. That's where we are now. And I think, you know, looking back later, you will be disappointed where you had the title in your own hands, but you didn't manage to go all the way, obviously. But, you know, in a few weeks or months' time, when you start to read about the new, you know, game schedule and the next season, and, you know, Arne's coming in and everything, we're maybe going to look at it like, okay, it is what it is, and it was what it was. So, you know, it's a double thing. You can be disappointed and angry, but at the same time, you'll be like, this is what we wanted to. That this is like, this was the expectation from the start anyway. It doesn't take away the fact that we were in it for a very, very long time. But, you know, you're looking at Man City, you know what they are, obviously. But you're looking at Arsenal as well. You know, you have to, you know, pay respect to the way they are playing and doing at the moment. Like, you know, Arteta's doing a great job now, and they're in a great form, great players. You know, they just really, really good. And we're not there at the moment. Like, we still trying to find a way a little bit. And, you know, to go back to the Everton game, I think there's different things there. It's a derby. You know, we play in a way, like we always say about Man United, it's their cup final. You know, if they can stop us from going for the title, they will fight for it. That's what they did. We weren't there like we were going for the title. Yes, we lost against Crystal Palace at home, and that was probably taking away a bit of, you know, feeling and energy. But, you know, that's the first thing that I took. Like, they will fight and die for this game to win that, and we were not doing that. And like you said, it's the first time since 2010. You know, I just think about myself, because I was living in England, and, you know, I had two kids by that time, you know, moving to Gibraltar, moving back to Sweden, moving to different cities. So, you know, if they have a moment, Evertonians, where they can just celebrate, you know, okay, they're still going to wait another 10, 15 years, I guess, till the next time, because, you know, they're not going anywhere from where the position where they are, because they are truly crap. But, you know, I think, you know, looking at Liverpool, you know, the first goal, like you said, we shouldn't go into it too much, but it's too sloppy. It's no energy. It's not like clear the fucking ball out of the penalty box. It's, you know, 3-4 times where we had that chance, but it still comes back because no one can actually put that force behind the ball and just be like, get that fucker out of here and go up and, you know, put pressure on them. We didn't do that. The second goal, obviously, we have all seen the videos of Trent and his defending. It's shit. You know, I love Trent, but I think that is truly, you can't even do that in amateur football. Like if you're playing a fucking five-a-side, or if you're playing a seven-a-side, or if you're playing, you know, amateur football like 11-a-side, and you defend like that, you deserve to be having shit coming at you, or you have to deserve to go out like be subbed or whatever. Because that is, you know, in this kind of way where you have to fight for it, because you know that's what they do. That's something that's the least I expect from the players every game. That's what we've been saying since I think we started to do this together, Mick. Like, the least we can expect is them to go out there and run and fight, and you know, to use the phrase bleed for the shit, or even, you know, make them fucking, you know, knackered afterwards. That's what I expect. If they're not in form, or if they're not perform well, like in, you know, football wise, at least they fight for it. And I respect that then, and be like, yeah, I understand you can be out of form. I understand you can't have your best game all the time, but I saw you were running. I saw you were tackling. I saw you were putting, you know, the fight in. But when you see moments like that with Trent and the defending and some other players as well, you'd be like, well, you don't deserve to win the title then. You can sit there in interviews and say, we're going to go for the quadruple. We're going to go for this and that. But if you don't put in the work yourself when you're saying that, you're not going to deserve it, because other teams going to want to have to, you know, fight you and and do things against you. So, you know, that game against Everton was shit. We didn't deserve anything. You know, credit to them. But, you know, let's make it another 10, 15 years until they can have that moment again, please.
Yeah. Like you said, bloody hell, my voice just went there. Like you said, there's they were crap, but we were crapper. That's the way it kind of went. We were just really bad, and they are really bad. We just allowed, Klopp said it perfectly, we allowed them to play the way they wanted to. And it's like you said, we've been dragged down to the levels of teams this season so many times, but we've managed to overcome it. Whereas I think this one maybe came a step too soon for us, where we were like, going into it, you know, it's a derby, give it 100%, but we just weren't. It was just a weird game. I just couldn't really get my head around the whole thing. It was just mad, weren't it?
Yeah, and we welcomed, you know, their way of playing, like you said. We welcomed, you know, their way of playing was to get like free kicks, you know, slow it down a bit, going strong in, you know, in the air and stuff. And we gave away free kicks all the time. Like, I haven't seen a team giving away free kicks, like easy free kicks like that for a long time. And that's what we did all the time, where they had, you know, outside the box and stuff like that. And they got the physical players to threaten us in that area. And that also, you know, every time we gave away a free kick, it looked like we were like half a second or a second behind every situation, which also, you know, shows that we're not there properly on our toes and out of our blocks, like you said. We're always a little bit behind, and you know, it could be an evidence of energy slacking, or you know, the belief or whatever. But you know, a team that goes for a title or wants something, they're going to be on the toes, they're going to have the energy levels, they're going to fight for it, and we're not just not doing that. And you know, we have probably have to just accept that and move on, I guess.
We do, unfortunately. And let's talk about West Ham a little bit, because I think it was better, it was definitely better, but it still weren't what was required. Of course, after the Everton game, you're like, well, it's probably gone now. You're going to need a minor miracle to be back in it. You need to win. You need to beat West Ham, basically, to keep yourself in it, for just to it, until it's mathematically impossible. Like Klopp said, going into it, if we win our remaining four, we've got a chance. It's a small chance, but there's a chance. And Bowen scores, and you're just like, oh, here we go again. And
it's another one.
I don't want to go too much into the goals, because we've got like other bits to talk about, like Gakpo and Salah and that. But like, yeah, they score, we get a decent equaliser, and then we get the weirdest goal ever to go 2-1 up, but it deflects off about four people, and you're like, wow, that's like a massive chunk of luck there for us. So if that wins us the game, amazing. But of course, we end up Not allowing it to. Of course, they go up to the end, and Antonio, it had to be him, of course, the fella who just does his own podcast every week, which I just find baffling, that he's doing podcasts while he's playing. I can't wrap my head around that, to be honest. But yeah, he scores a decent goal, to be fair to him. And yeah, and then it's 2-2, and you're like, well, firstly, like, at least it weren't a win, especially after you said like the Palace defeat and the Everton defeat. Like, let's not make a habit of like getting beat all the time, because that's like the worst way to end the season. But what I wanted to talk about a little bit more was, before we talk about Salah. Let's talk about the Gakpo chance, because I just think this is just absolutely every time I see it, I'm not even meaning to see it when I go on Twitter, it's just there again. I'm just like, I can't believe this. Like, there's no one's came out and said anything about it. Ref watched Dermot Gallagher's on there, and he's like, "Oh yeah, it's the referee shouldn't have done that. He should have done." It's just like he's not. There's no insight into what was going on there. Like, their keeper goes down. The ref then runs 30 yards away. You can see him waving his arm, going, "Yeah, crack on." He then rolls it out. Gakpo runs forward because, of course, he's playing the ball by rolling it out because he is. And then he blows his whistle, then he runs over back to the keeper and says, it looks like he says, go down. It looks like he says, you're injured, get the physio on. But he's just waved play on from 40 yards away. Then he's ran back when Gakpo has made a move towards the ball. And I just can't get my head around this one. I just think it's another major fuck-up with Anthony Taylor. It's been like, I've made a mess here, go down on the floor, we'll get the physio on, and then you can play on from there. But just because Their keeper's fine to crack on. It's only when the ref runs over to him where he starts pretending to feel his leg. Like, oh yeah, I think I've got a bit of an injury. So, we're not going to find that. I mean, we might see fucking Howard Webb on that show with Michael Owen, probably giving like a shitty excuse or he doesn't know what's going on or whatever. But it's just like, these decisions are just... It used to be like every other week or like every once a couple of weeks, but now it's every game where you're like, what's he doing? What's going through the ref's head? What's going through VAR's head? And I am sick to death of talking about the referees, because it shouldn't even be a thing. A good ref, you shouldn't even notice anything that happens. It should be decent decisions, or at least like if it's a disputable one, then yeah, fair enough, it can go 50-50. But when it's clear stuff like this where he's just making up his own rules, I just can't, it's mad, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, because he never blew his whistle anyway before that, so it was never, you know, the game was never stopped, and when the goalkeeper puts the ball down, it's in play still. So, you know, Gakpo should, you know, just put that in the net, and even if the referee blows his whistle, it should be like, well, you never gave a free kick or anything else. You never stopped the game, and the goalkeeper put it down. And then, you know, you're there like as an attacker, seeing the opportunity and running for it, and should have scored. And that could have made a big difference. And I don't know. It's like you said, I said something about in a thread on Twitter about, you know, no wonder Klopp is, you know, drained of energy, having to deal with this every fucking weekend. And he's not the only one. You know, I'm not just saying it's Liverpool. It's every team having weird decisions coming, you know, their way from the referees and the VAR and everything. So, but, you know, obviously we focus on Liverpool. So, you know, I can understand that you don't want to be part of this, you know, mess anymore. You'd be like, why am I here doing this? Even if I love, you know, the team and the club and the city and all that, having to deal with this, because it just takes all the energy, it makes all the fun goes out of the window, because it doesn't matter what you do. And you know, in crucial moments as well, like if we won against West Ham away, you know, we would still be in a title challenge in a different way. We probably wouldn't win it, but it still gave us a better chance. But you know, the referee fucks up like they did against Tottenham and other situations that we've seen over the season. It's just weird. And I'm tired of it as a fan as well, because you get disappointed, you get angry, you get like, it takes the focus from the games and everything you love with football, and it keeps on going all the time. So, you know, it needs to change in some way, because I, you know, everyone just getting very tired of it. And, you know, respectfully so, Klopp just, you know, got no energy left. Fair enough then, because, you know, I would have been fucking gone for a long time if they were doing this all the time, because it just takes away your happiness and believe in the football, because that's something that we live for every weekend. But it, you know, wins like that could have been, when that's taken away from you in that kind of way, where it's a big, big mistake, which they, you know, fuck up. It just makes you feel like, oh, you know, you're just like, why am I investing my time and energy and money into this? Because, you know, it's not like the other team beat us 3-0. Fair enough. They were so much better. So we don't deserve to win, they played us off the park, blah blah blah. No, it's the referees' decisions that, you know, make the difference here when it comes to 1 point or even 3 points or whatever. So yeah, I don't know, let's hope they do something you know, and change something very drastically for next season, because we no one wants to see this next season again, because it will be like, fucking hell, I'll close the door until they do something, because, you know, you don't enjoy the football as much, and that's a problem, obviously.
Yeah, well, there's even like semi-automated VAR coming in and stuff and all that, which you think on the face of it, it'll help, but
they find a way to fuck up that.
They'll find a way, exactly. They'll find a way to make something very well oiled into a piece of shit. Like you can't polish a turd. Like that's the unfortunate thing. And the people in charge and the refs are turds. Let's just have it right. They are. And the third of the job, which is just mad. But yeah, let's talk about the massive thing that got, of course, if Liverpool win the game, it's made less of, because Salah will probably be happy and Klopp will be happy, but because we draw the game, Salah having this little dispute with Klopp on the sidelines. There's a few extra angles of it where apparently Salah doesn't give him a hug or something before he goes on. He just shakes his hand quickly. And he's obviously annoyed because he's our star player, he's our star goal scorer, and he's obviously not happy to not playing games. That's the be all and end all. He's not going to be happy, of course he's not. He's coming on towards the end. He's going to want to make an impact and whatever. And yeah, bit of an argument and whatever. And it's sort of that, like it is annoying because, like, well, you should just crack on, even though you're pissed off. Whatever, just get on the pitch, try and make something happen, and do that back in the dressing room, or if you have an impact in the game and you can do it on the pitch after, or whatever. Like, it is just a bit of a mad one. And then you start getting the stuff starts coming out again. Oh, Salah's, yeah, he's not thought about leaving yet. Saudi aren't back in for him, etc., etc., etc. And people are like, oh, would you cash in? Would you not? Would you keep him? And all this stuff, of course, starts coming out, and you're like, he's scored over 20 goals in 7 consecutive seasons. Like, he's on 24 this season, 24 goals, which is more than he got in our title winning season, by the way. He got 23 that year. But if he needs 6 more this season in 3 games, which is unlikely the way we're playing, the way Salah's playing, to have over 30 goals in. He's had over 30 goals in his past 3 seasons, so he needs 6 more to do it again, which is unlikely. But I think one of the points I'm just making is, he is the star player. Like, is the injury that he's had is the first that looks like it's seriously hampered him. Like, it's something like, it's not a coincidence that he's usually a monster and a machine. Even like earlier in the season, when he's not having the best game, he'll always be involved with an assist, or he'll make something happen. He'll create something out of nothing or whatever. Even if it's not a goal, he always creates. And that's not happened recently since that injury. And you can put it down to age, you can put it down to his pace decreasing, which it seems like it has happened, whether that's coincided with the injury and he's not fully fit. I don't know, because he's so much of a machine that an injury like that can carry on. And he's not the type of the fella that would be like, oh yeah, I'm not playing because I'm injured. He'll carry on and carry on and carry on, because that's the player that he is. He wants to play every game. So I think that comes into it. And then you're seeing a lesser Mo Salah because he's playing maybe through an injury and he's not wanting to just have the time out to get himself right again. So all these things come into play. But for me, if he's wanting to stay at the club and keep on trying to break more records, then it's a no-brainer for how amazing he's been. I mean, people are like, if you get like an offer for like, I don't know, over 100 million, would you do it? And it's like, it all comes down to whether he wants to, because his contract's rapidly running out. It's going to be up to him, really. To play, like, players have got the most power than they ever have these days, so it's up to him whether he wants to stay. But if it was my point of view, in terms of like having as many players as you can overlapping from Klopp's end to Arne Slot's beginning of his tenure, the better, because you're going to get that hopefully a bit of progression, and when players come in, they can help them be the player that they need to be a Liverpool player and all that. So I think it's... But what are your thoughts on the dispute? It was a bit mad to see. Like, never want to see stuff like that, like, publicly on before he comes on the field.
No, I think, you know, just first look of it, I think it's disrespectful from Salah to do that, like you said, publicly. I don't like it. You can have that discussion internally in the dressing room or face to face, or if there's any problems or issues or whatever, keep that, you know, internally. Don't show the world it, because, you know, it makes a story and everyone will talk about it, and it will not help Liverpool at all. It's just, you know, all these rumours coming, you know, people start to talk, like you said, cashing in, not should he stay, should we sell him, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was wrong. And then obviously, you know, the lines came out on Twitter from journalists as well, say, you know, if I speak today, it will be fire or something like that. Like, you yeah. see the video, you see, the, yeah, we see the video, and there's context there. He just says it in a calm way that, you know, I'm not going to give you all your headlines. That's basically what he says in that way. Like, not like if I speak today, there will be fire internally. It's more like if I speak now today, you will write something big on it, and it will be something exactly. from your end that will turn, you know, everything into shit. So I'm just gonna, you know, leave it there anyway. So, you know, I think we should just move on from here. I'm thinking it, like you said, it's up to Salah, but it's also up to the club in one way to sit down with him and say, do you want to stay here long term? Like, he's only like 31 32, he's fit obviously overall, like in terms of being at that age, how he handles himself and take care of himself. So you have to think about, if he says, not sure, you know, yes, there could be an argument of, okay, sell him for big money then, because then we have money to find, you know, options that it's hard to replace him. Obviously, it's almost impossible in the way that he, you know, would score tally and that and everything. But then you give the option to actually get some money in for him and use that to strengthen the squad and the team in different areas, not just only one, I would say. But if you want to stay, then obviously put a contract on the table, make sure that he, you know, stays longer and can't go for free, because he's too valuable for that anyway. So it's, you have to, they have to meet the club and Salah to sort that out. My point of view is, I want him to stay if he wants to stay, because you can't replace the goals and the points that he actually gives us every season since he came in. You can't underestimate the importance of all the goals and, you know, the assists and the way that he has an impact on players, the opposition players and our players when he play. So I understand people think, you know, it's maybe time because of injury, because of age, because of the problem now. We're going to have Arne Slot coming in. It's going to be like a new era and all that kind of stuff. I can see the point, but at the same time, it's going to be so difficult to find someone who gives us the points in that way. So I think I'd rather just have him to stay, and maybe, you know, I get the frustration and then what happened at the sideline, even though if I don't like it happened publicly, because he hasn't played well. He knows that himself. He doesn't get play time because of that. He had his injury. He never experienced this period in Liverpool before in the same way as an individual. It's obviously goes to his head a bit and thinking like, what the fuck is going on? You know, I'm not in the place that I should be. Or, you know, he's frustrated with himself. He's frustrated with Klopp not playing him. He's frustrated with the situation where we threw the title away. So I understand he's a winner. He wants to win. You know, he wants to score goals. He wants to break records. In that way, he's an ego, which is fine, because he's also someone who wins games in that way and stuff. But we'll see what happens. If he would leave, you know, I would be very sad in terms of, like I said, we know where the goals come from and what kind of impact he has. But if that gives us funds to buy really, really good quality players in different areas, like we, for example, did with Coutinho, and we bought Van Dijk and Alisson, for example, you know, I can see the point and why we're doing it, because it might be a better thing in the long term, like for the club. But if he stays or want to stay, then obviously need to, you know, put his pen on a contract extension, so we know that he can't go for free in a year. Like, he maybe have to add 1-2 years on it, and then we can come back to discussions if there's anyone want to buy him then, even if it might be less money or whatever. He might have won a title, or he might have scored goals that have broken more records, and to have that as someone that played for Liverpool during a quite short period of time, even if that would be closer to maybe 8-10 years, then you know, it's something that we would talk about when we're getting old, you know, the legend that is Mo Salah. So my opinion is that I want him to stay if he wants to stay, because I know how important it is in our fight to win things with all the goals that he scores.
Yeah, basically. Massively. And I think you can't, like you say, you can't replace the goals, but I think it's the winning mentality as well. Like, it's the willing to, like, I think he has been wanting to play with an injury. Like, you don't get them as often these days, like the Luis Suarez's, who are just like, yeah, give me an injection, I'll crack on, I'll be 70 75%, but I'll give you 100%. And I think, like you said, you've seen like a depleted Mo Salah, like in terms of energy levels and taking people on and all the stuff that you associate with Mo Salah, you've not been seeing, which is hard to see. Then that translates into them not getting played, etc., etc. So it's been a bit of a vicious circle for him. So, but then I think it does come down to whether he wants to or not. If he wants to, he stays. I think it's simple as that. If he says, "Give me a 2-year contract," I think we do it. But it's if he wants to go and experience another league, etc., etc., then we need to. And like I said, it comes back to what we were saying earlier, like getting Slotin and Edwards and stuff. Have the right people in the right positions to go, right, we've got this big chunk of money now. What do we go and do? Do we go and, yeah, blow it on one player, massive youngster, or do we go and get two or three? Like, there's, and you wouldn't trust anyone more than Dan Edwards in that situation to go out and get the right players in those positions. So, alongside Arne Slot, I'm sure he'll have his say on players as well, like maybe some gems from his former team Feyenoord. So but yeah, but we'll see. It was already going to be a massive overhaul this summer, like Klopp leaving and whatever, and we wanted it to be the fairy tale end, and it's not going to be, unfortunately, in terms of more titles and stuff. But the likes of like Salah potentially leaving and if other stuff going on, contracts need to be sewn up, like Trent and Van Dijk. So there's going to be It's going to be a big summer where Liverpool need to be on the ball, and we've made the right decision so far, getting the right people in. It seems like we just need to carry on with that trend to make sure it's going to be as smooth as it can be. Really,
I just want to say I hope that they, you know, as soon as the season finished and, you know, we waved Klopp goodbyes, I hope that, you know, the club's going to be like, yeah, confirm Trent Alexander-Arnold new. I understand they're waiting for, you know, Slotin, you know, to hear him talk about his visions and all that. I understand that. But, you know, to be like, not drag it out during the summer, like get the vital players signed, you know, sign them a new contract, Van Dijk, Trent, even Salah. Get that done. Get out of the way. Show, you know, that they're here for the new manager. They're here for the new era and want to be part of that. And then obviously we can focus on if there's anyone else we need to bring in terms of what slot wants, and do we need to strengthen these areas and blah, blah, blah. But then we have our, you know, the leaders, the captains, the winning mentality players already done and dusted. I don't want it to be, you know, something that is dragging out rumors here, rumors there. I want the club to be like, club is gone now, but here you go. Salah stays, Van Dijk stays, Trent's, you know, they signed all the contracts, blah, blah. Even fucking Alisson, I don't know where, how many years he's got left. But, you know, players like that to show, like, this, we mean business, and then we can go and find the players that we need to strengthen around the squad, get more depth and all that kind of stuff. I would be very pleased if that happens, because I fucking hate if it drags out for a long time, yeah. And you feel like, you know, other players that want to come in might look at, oh, Van Dijk is staying, Trent is staying, Salah is staying, exactly. I want to go there. But, you know, if they're not, and if it starts to be a little bit of rumours that they might be going, they're not signing yet, we don't know, they will also stay a little bit, you know, and wait for it and be a little bit more like, we'll see what happens, if I want to go there or not. Liverpool will still be an attractive club, but things like that does, you know, have a point in everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it does, of course. Like having Klopp in charge, it wasn't just like the pull of Liverpool, it's the pull of Jurgen Klopp as well. So, like, getting the likes of Van Dijk to sign a new contract, Trent and Salah, it's like, oh, I'll go there because I know there's three massive players, three world-class players, three winners there already. I want to add to that, etc., etc. So yeah, it's a good point. It doesn't need to be, those things need to be sewn up as soon as possible. Like you said, you don't want to go into summer where you're like, what's going to happen? And then, yeah, the whole, yeah, fucking transfer rumours and shit like that.
Yeah, because then if you're going to sell Salah, you want to sell him early as well, because you want to have the time to have the funds to find the players that you want. You don't want to have to do it like the last couple of days of the transfer window or before the season. You want to make sure that they come in early so they get the preseason under the new manager and you get the group together. I know you can't do it every time 100% perfectly, but that's the way you want to work. And I guess Liverpool is a club that works like that now, trying to be proactive, getting things done early so you can concentrate on the football after that.
Exactly. Well, that's a perfect place to leave it. Of course, we've got Spurs on Sunday. We'll try and do a show. I'll be doing another show, another Across the Pond show. Probably come out tomorrow. And then might do two this week, to be honest, just to keep us ticking over with not as many games left, and their thoughts on end of the season, how it's been going, etc., and views from different people around the world, especially in America, because of course across the pond fits nicely, and we've got a few good lads on that side of the world that are interested and very knowledgeable about the Reds, so we're going to get their thoughts as well. But we'll leave it there, lad. Nice one for jumping on, as always. Really appreciate it. Nice one, everyone, for listening to us ramble on for another Cop-Eye podcast. Another very close to the end of the season. Not that many to go. We'll, of course, start doing more random shows, I guess, once the season ends, in terms of other bits that we need to... that we haven't done for a while. Maybe some player profiles. We haven't done one of them for a long time, so we might do one of them again. But yeah, nice one for listening, everyone. Nice one to Christian for jumping on, and we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop-Eye podcast.
Network.